hit London. Early this morning, we heard the bomber going out. It was the sound of a giant factory in the sky. It seemed to shake the old gray stone buildings in this bruised and battered city beside the Thames. The sound was heavier, more triumphant than ever before. Those who knew what was coming could imagine that they heard Drake drum on the strains of the battle hymn of the Republic, well above the roar of the motors. The first communique merely announced that Allied forces had landed in northern France. We were told that the weather had been unkind during the initial phase of the operation. The attack had been once postponed because of weather and had been launched in the early hours of this morning because the weathermen said conditions would improve. And they did. We were told that General Montgomery is commanding the ground forces, while Lee Mallory directs the air offensive. His bombers put 8,000 tons onto the target area in the course of 10 hours. Soon the eyewitness accounts began coming in. Men who had been flying all told the same story. They'd gone in low, had met no heavy blast. The German fighters had not engaged. No movement was observed on the Cherbourg Peninsula. The country was scarred and pockmarked by the greatest concentration of bombs ever done. Early in the morning, General Ike Eisenhower had... Here in London, we were told that four important considerations had to be borne in mind. First, that this campaign would not be won by a single smacking blow. That it depended upon logistics, the continued and uninterrupted flow of material and men to the fighting front. Second, the presence of a certain number of non-German troops need not be a source of weakness to the enemy. That these foreign elements are unlikely to cause disintegration. Third, the Allied forces could expect little aid from the local inhabitants in the coastal area. The able-bodied had been removed. The minesweepers were the first to go in, and the Navy men around headquarters made no effort to conceal their pride over the job done by the Americans. The American naval losses were very, very light, and the shore batteries near the landing point were quickly sighted. Three American ships engaged in shore bombardment have been named. The Atlantic, the Tuscaloosa, and the Nevada. All during the day, the confidence around headquarters continued. Although it was recognized that the German counterattack has not yet been put in, and the German air power is being held in reserve. Here in London, the steadiness of the civilian population is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. Expressions didn't seem to change. People went about their business calmly. There was no excitement. Once you were walking along the streets of London, you almost wanted to shout at them and say, "Don't you know that history is being made this day? Waiting for 4 years, ever since the boys came back from Dunkirk." They realized it all right, but their emotions were under complete control. For weeks and months, the long lines of khaki-colored transports had been rising down to the coast. Everyone, including the enemy, knew what was coming. But when it came, it didn't seem to break the tension. 4 years of war had taught these people that hard work and steadiness are more important than easy optimism and exultation. There seems to be an unspoken acknowledgement that this is only the beginning of a costly and difficult operation. It has been a brilliant beginning. The airborne operation was eminently successful. Mr. Churchill, who is not given to easy optimism, made a hopeful and encouraging speech to the House of Commons. The difficulties which appeared in last night, formidable, are behind us. He said that the operation is proceeding in a thoroughly satisfactory manner. It was a day of many speeches. Marshal Pétain issued a proclamation urging the French people to stay put and carry on with their normal job. General de Gaulle made a broadcast to France asking all Frenchmen to fight the Germans wherever and when they can. He told them to sabotage and destroy the German defenses, avoid German construction, and mobilize assistance to the Allied army. He called upon Frenchmen to obey the orders of the French government, by which he meant the Committee of National Liberation in Algiers. Not yet occupied sufficient French territory to make its political administration an urgent problem, but General de Gaulle has clearly indicated that he expects the National Committee to handle the civil administration of the liberated territory. A few hours ago, Britain's king spoke to the world. He concluded with these words: "If, from every place of work, from men and women of all ages and many races and occupations, our demonstration is
Then, please God, both now
and in a future not remote, the predictions of an ancient psalm may be fulfilled. The Lord has given us unto his people. The Lord will give his people that is his people. But tonight, the talk is of war and not of peace.
The latest reports indicate that the situation is satisfactory,
but the weather is worsening. A strong wind is blowing across the channel, and sizable waves are hitting the beaches. That will increase our problems of supply. But there is nothing to indicate that the weather is to the point where the execution of the plan is in danger. The last communications in London gave us no information regarding the progress of the land fighting. But the only thing that can be said officially is that the operation is on schedule, and that the airborne landings were successful.
And that the initial landings went according to schedule.
That all during the day, the Allied air umbrellas provided effective protection. Naval casualties have been light, especially when the magnitude of the operation is taken into account. During the hours of daylight, the German Air Force avoided combat. We have no information concerning air action from start to day. Admiral Ramsey, who commands the Allied Navy, said today, "We have broken the threat and started off on the right foot." It is Admiral Ramsey's opinion that the Navy has made possible a land battle, but that there is still a long way to go before it is possible to fight. The Germans have been fishing for information all day, and the Allied command has been withholding. In the past, the German reaction has always been prompt and vigorous. The news of the last 24 hours would seem to indicate that they are perhaps waiting for the Allies' intentions to be more fully disclosed before committing their land and air forces in decisive battle. The Germans must not only try to anticipate our next move, they must think constantly of the coming Russian offensive. During the early phase of every operation, there is an absence of detailed information as both sides try to conceal their movements and intentions. That's what happened tonight. The Germans who landed with the assault troops have not yet reached London. But a careful survey of every report by air and naval observers revealed a strong note of surprise and amazement at the absence of a Luftwaffe back from the German Army. Tonight, a great race against time. We are attempting to consolidate our position to withstand the inevitable German counterattack, while the Germans are attempting to regroup their forces and prepare to strike before we are well established. That appears to be the position at the moment. When there is more news,
we shall hope to bring it to you. I return you now to CBS.